Father, let's pray. Our Father, we receive insight into your word. Thank you for clarity and understanding the subject of salvation. We see Jesus Christ this morning as he beholds us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Again, you know, it says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. So fundamentally, we see that salvation is teaching, right? Salvation is teaching. It's not just experiential. I mentioned that yesterday. It's actually teaching. And so you, as a pastor, your doctrine is the teaching of salvation. And what kind of salvation? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ. So, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for teaching, okay? And it's under teaching that we have reproof, we have correction, we have instruction in righteousness, alright? Because what teaching is didaskalion. And those three words. One, reproof is where you have eleko. Eleko is conviction to persuade, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the persuasion of things not seen. The second one is epanathosis. It means to correct, to set in its right place. Okay, to put something that is fitting. Alright, that's the word correction. And that means that, you know, don't forget we are looking into the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament. So it says that what you are doing in the Holy, Holy Scriptures is setting things aright. What does that mean? That means you are setting the subject of salvation aright. From Genesis to Malachi, the last thing it says instruction, where you have the word padeus, where it's referring to bringing up a child, spiritual growth, alright? Instruction in righteousness, that word is used for bringing up a child. Ephesians 6:4, in the admonition of the Lord. Then you see, you know, repeated in Hebrews 12 from verse 5 to verse 8, you know, the exhortation, I mean, the father-son relationship. So, basically, it says for persuasion, okay, then for setting things aright, then for spiritual development. And that's what teaching does. The next one says that the man of God may be perfect, not mature. That word is atios. It means to be adequate. Alright. And it says, furnished unto every good work, which is exartizo. Exartizo means to be fully prepared or fully equipped, actually. It's just repeating the same thing with different adjectives. Now, it means that the subject of salvation is the equipment of the pastor. The teaching of the subject of salvation is the equipment of the pastor. So if he writes and says, count the elders as a rule of the body of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine, that means those who labor in teaching salvation. It can't be those who labor in teaching anything. Those who labor in teaching salvation. It's specific. You know, we said that didaskalos is also synonymous with didache. That is a particular teaching. It's not just teaching anything. And that's why you have doctrines in plural form, which is where you now begin to teach other things. Alright, there's just one teaching, and that teaching is salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Is that okay? And that's what we're called to teach. You're not called to teach an idea, what you think we need right now, or you're called to see what you sense by the Spirit and all those kind of things we do. But you have a teaching. That's why he can say, the things you have learnt of me, commit unto faithful men who shall be able, apt to teach, the didaskos, skillful at teaching salvation. So we should be skillful at teaching the subject of salvation. Quickly said. So, in looking at this subject, and what we've tried over the years, is to answer questions. Because questions arise, and sometimes we leave it to people's experiences, and all that and all that. I remember somebody was asking me just this morning, and he said, that about speaking in tongues. And this is a very funny way people think. Well, I know, except from your explanation, it is clear, that in Acts 2, the tongues need interpretation and all that. I said, but what can we now say about a friend of mine? Said the friend of mine lives in Ghana. he spoke his language. I said, Kenneth Hagin. He thought by the time he mentioned Kenneth Hagin, I'll start to shake. And I said, well, go back to what I taught. I did not mention anybody's name except the names in the Bible. I think you should stick to that. You know, by the time we start moving out of the box, I'll start experiencing, because somebody said this, we're going to be in trouble. We must interpret people's experiences in the light of God's word, not the other way around. And again, I eventually, of course, was smarter, and I said, well, what could have happened when people say they spoke someone's language would be the workings of miracles? It's not tongues and interpretation of tongues. Working of miracles, that's what we can say. Tongues will require interpretation for it to come out in human language. It's as simple as that. And stick to that. So just the same way with salvation. You know? Someday, I think in this series, we'll be able to answer one of the most crucial questions people ask, and that's the issue of those who do not hear the gospel. You know, we have done some work on that, but you know, things take gradual attempts before you can answer them effectively. So in the sphere of salvation, it must be all encompassing, and we must take it detail by detail. Because if the Bible says it is a Bible tells us that it is a book of salvation. I'm a book of salvation. Then we must be very detailed on the subject of salvation. Hope you are following me. So, the first thing I want us to address our minds to, even eventually we might not touch it too well today, is, you know, on Saturday, when we started talking about the death of Jesus, the first thing we said was, where did death come from? Because we need to first realize that. So, let us review what I mentioned again. God's judgment. The first place where we see the judgment of God, the first judgment of God, where we see the judgment of God, that where God judged a matter. The funny thing is that God judges a matter before it is done. He does not react. He proacts. His first judgment in Genesis 2:16 and 17. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day you eat thereof, thou shalt. So that is his judgment. And that shows you, you know, what judgment is. Judgment is not sentencing a conduct. So God's judgment was seeing that there was no death when he said this. So the first place we see death is in the judgment of God. And he says, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Which is muth. Can you remember muth? Huh? To die. And that's the first place death is mentioned. And death is mentioned as a byproduct of sin. In the judgment of God. So go to Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12 will give a clarity to Genesis 2:16 and 17. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Hallelujah. Let me quickly mention this. That statement, all have sinned, is the law. Just mark that. If we don't explain it today, we'll explain it next week, Saturday. Or this week, Saturday. All have sinned. Okay? Now, notice what he says. By one man, sin entered into the world, and the word "and" here is "kai." It means "moreover." death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. So, death is mentioned here in the book of Romans. Remember, we did a survey on the term death. And we found out that the book of Romans, alright, had arguably the clearest explanation of death in the epistles. Now, it has death mentioned in these following places. Let's just read them. Romans 1:32. First place, first mention. Romans 1:32. Knowing the judgment of God, right? They which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So the very first mention of death, he mentions it as judgment in his book. Romans 5:10 is the next place. Romans 5:10. By the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we are being saved by his life, not shall be saved. Romans 5:12, the one we just read now, two times. That makes four. Two times. Death entered, death by sin, and so death passed upon all. Romans 5:14. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Romans 5:17. Death reigned by one. So death seems to take up a personality as we go further to reign. Okay? 5:17, death reigned. 5:21 again, death reigned. Oh, sorry, sin reigned unto death. 6:3. As many as of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. His death will be what? His death for, right? Can you remember? His death for anti-hupa. Hupa is on behalf of, in the place of. Okay? What is it? The Lamb of God, alright, is not the Lamb for God. He's the Lamb of God. Can you remember what that meant? Huh? Uh-huh. That means God is not the one that used it. Is that clear? Uh-huh. Romans 6:3, Romans 6:4. Romans 6:4 says, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that is his death. Romans 6:5. And if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. So the focus of death in Romans is on the personality of Jesus, on the work of Jesus. Romans 6:9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, right? Romans 6:16. His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Of course, the obedience of Jesus. 6:21. What fruit are ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is what? What does it mean end? The completion of those things is death. 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. This is a very important verse. For the wages of sin is death. It's not difficult to see this because we just read Romans 5:12 that death came by sin. So it says, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Romans 7:5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Again, sin. Are you seeing this? So, Romans interplays sin as the mother of death. I think that's clear, right? Huh? Okay. Romans 7 again, verse 13. What then? What is good made, that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin, walking death in me. Right? Romans 7:5. Romans 7:13. Oh, I just read 13 actually. Romans 7:24. O wretched man I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Okay. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law of sin and death. Can you see that? When you mention death, you mention sin. Are you here? All right. Are you following this? So, Romans 8:6. So the carnal mind is death, spiritually mind is life, and peace. Is not talking about behavior. This is talking about a status. The only place where it's different will be Romans 8:38. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So, death is thought from sin's perspective. That means there cannot be death without sin. Alright? And God does not play in sin. So God cannot orchestrate death because death is by sin. You can't have death without sin. I think that is clear. Is that clear? Come on, talk to me. Is that clear? Okay, so that said, Romans 5:12. Death is mentioned twice. And it says, death passed upon. That word there, passed upon, is D-I-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. There come I to spread influence. Simple. That's why I use rain. To spread influence. To spread its influence. So sin, death, to spread its influence. Remember I look at Hebrews 2:14. He that had the power of death, that is the devil. Okay? He held. Held means to hold on to. Which is exactly what he said here. That is, he passed upon all. Nevertheless, Romans 5:12. No, not 5:12. Okay? Death by sin, so death passed upon all, for that all have sinned. So, he says, death by sin. So remember, when Jesus, look at that Luke 22:53, when he was to be captured, look at Luke 22:53, look at what he said, Are you there? When I was dealing with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour, and the power of darkness. That's the kingdom of darkness, right? Right? Power of darkness. Hallelujah. Power of darkness. John 8:44. So if we say that death passed, it must pass from somewhere. So it started from where? Adam. Okay? On to Moses. John 8:44. You are of your father the devil. I'm not talking to you. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it, from the beginning. From the beginning. So, hidden, murderer is to put to death. So, hidden in the motions of death is the devil. He was the murderer from the beginning. So, who held on to that power? Huh? Now, notice what Jesus called that power. Lust. Sin. Can you see it? Can you see it? Sin. Lust. Sin. When he speaks a lie, he abode not in the truth. So, it's not one. You know, like I said, some of us, our imaginations have run riot on us. One room, there is devil is doing. The authority is in men. Lost. It's in lust. Are you following that? Okay. Abode not in the truth. So here, it lets us, again, just like what he did and what the Spirit of Jude did in the epistles, it takes off the veil. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now, do you think the murderer is talking about is bringing out knife and all that? No, 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 no. Murderer will refer to what? Death by sin. Because Jesus was talking about sin in John 8. That's where he said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. It's the truth that you know. It's not the truth that you preach. It's the truth that you... I beg, sit down. He that the Son shall set free. So the truth there is a person. Alright? The setting free is redemption. Don't go into... You know the truth of God's word. You'll be set free and you have money. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about freedom from sin. Hallelujah. That the Son will set free from sin. That's John 8. Alright? Now let's follow. So the power of darkness is situated in sin. Interestingly, sin came from where? Don't forget our careful submission. Sin came from where? You forgotten. Death came from sin. Sin came from where? Uncontrolled desire, which came from what? Desire. So, that power is again used by who? The power of darkness is used by who? Hey, now. Hallelujah. It's used by men. That's why the death of Jesus was done by men. Because that's where you can find the power of darkness. Are you there? Are you following? So, in James 1:13, okay, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt ye any man. But every man, when he is tempted, okay, he is drawn away and enticed. So, was there enticement in Genesis 3? Yes. Was there a drawing away? Yes. But who made death? That means death is man-made. Death eventually is man-made. But Satan used. Is man-made. Because sin came by man. By one man, sin entered. Isn't it by the devil? By one man, sin entered into the world. So, notice, go back to Romans 5. Notice something we have seen about death. Reign. What is reign? Simple. The word reign is basileo. B-A-S-I-L-U-L-E-U-O. Or basilia. Some of you that study Greek words, you know what that means. Basileo is kingdom. Right? So, when it says he passed upon all, that's kingdom. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Reigned. It's in the reign of death that we found the law of Moses. It's in the reign of death. That's why the law of Moses was about judgment. The law of Moses was about judgment. It was sin's motions. Now, it says reign. To reign is a king's authority or dominion. So, Romans 5:21 again. Let's read that one together. Let's read that one together. Romans 5:21. That as sin, I thought you were there. As sin, not unto God though, reign unto death. Even so, might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. So, how many times do we have reign? We have reign in 17 also. Look at 17. If by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Reign. So, death reigned in sin. Death reigned where? In sin. So, where sin is dealt with, death is dealt with. Because death cannot reign on its own. Death reigned in sin. Where sin is dealt with, death is dealt with. And interestingly, how you deal with sin is by dealing with death. Hallelujah. So, let's describe Basileo. That is reign. Look at Matthew 2:22. I'll give you four scriptures. I'll tell you, I'll ask you to tell me what is similar.
Luke 19:14 and 27.
Quickly look at it, 2 minutes, and see a similarity. The same word is there, Basileo. What's similar? Huh? What's similar there? What is similar now? Who can tell us? Thank you. It must be over something. Alright? So, to reign must be over something. So that means it's not unrestricted. Do you understand? It must be over. It's specified. Basileo is specified. So, I'll skip Romans. Then look at another place. 1 Timothy 6:15. That's not much, because that's really about God. So, 1 Timothy 6:15. Blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings. King. King of Kings. Reigning over kings. Now look at 1 Corinthians 15:25. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The book of Revelation, quickly put this down. Revelation 5:10, 11:15,
5:10, 11:15, 11:17, 19:6, 24, 26, 22:6. I'll take it again. 5:10, 11:15, 11:17, 19:6, 24, 26, 22:6. We're talking about the reign of Jesus. The reign of Christ. Notice his reign was after the ransom. The reign was after the ransom. So let's go to Romans. Romans 5:12, 14 and 17, and 21. Talk about the reign of death and the reign of death through sin. So, what gave death a kingdom will be what? Will be what? Sin. What gave death a kingdom will be sin. Right? Did you notice that the sin we have read so far is a noun? Is a noun. So, he says in 17, he says, shall reign, talking about righteousness, in life by one, Jesus Christ. So, the word reign means to spread your influence, to use your influence. So, the influence of the grace of God, the influence of the gift of righteousness will be through what? By one. Will be through what? Through what now? The reign of the righteousness of God will be through what? Life. No. Look at it. Look at it. It will take something to reign. Okay? We said that reign is restricted. Jesus does not reign unrestricted weight. So how would the gift of righteousness reign? By one. Huh? Now that one, look at it. I thought we had seen this. It was by one that sin, so is a free gift, or his gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation. That one, a person or an action. But the free gift of many offenses of justification, if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. That will be by what? Huh? Okay, I'll leave you to be thinking. I thought you'd make the conclusion easily. Because Basilio must have a specified place. You can't say you are reigning over all things. No. What is the kingdom about? It says death was empowered by sin, or death came by sin. So that means death is restricted to where? Huh? Sin. So, righteousness is restricted to what? Let's go further. Okay. Look at Hebrews 2:14. So, through death, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, who that had, which means to hold on to, echoes, to hold on to. So, what did he hold on to?
Huh? What was he using? Exactly. Okay? The power of death. That is the devil. So who was the captive? Huh? Who was the captive? Who was the captor? What was the captivity? Simple. The captor was the devil. The captivity was sin. So the captive is man. So if we're going to set free, we're going to set free from who? From who? From what? That will give you the answer. Huh? Do we need to deal with the devil? Huh? Do we need to talk to him? Fight him? What do we have to do? Huh? Okay, let's see. So the servant is man. The slave owner is the devil. The slavery is sin. So if there's going to be redemption, redemption cannot be paid to God. I thought we have rang that one, we have rang that inside. Right? Look at John 8. Look, imagine John 8. You have your father, the devil. Every time I could, I was going to turn away from the congregation. Or somebody begins to say, ah, you're accusing. Look at John 8. See, the thing about misusing scriptures, even if you have good intentions, is that you betray God's intention. Even if you have good intentions, and you're trying to, you know, look at how, even among word people, Colossians 1:13 was used for casting out of devils. It robs the scripture of everything he was saying. We don't need deliverance. Hallelujah. We have been delivered. We have been delivered. Hallelujah. No demons. Calm down. That's not what he's saying. Hallelujah. It carries a heavier weight than dealing with demons. He's the boss. Hallelujah. Not just the boss. Not the boss. The boss will not be Satan. The boss is sin. You get it? And the boss came from man. Don't overrate Satan. You know, in the hierarchy, we look at death, then we look at sin. In the middle of death and sin, we find who held on to it. Are you getting that? Uh-huh. We have sin. Because the devil himself was found in sin. You get it? We have sin, we have death in the hierarchy. And the only place where did sin come from? It didn't come from the devil. Sin came from man's will. So we don't overrate the devil. Hallelujah. Are you getting it? Because he was made king. How was he made king? You have to be made a king. How was he made king? By sin. So we'll deal with sin. And we'll deal with him. Do you understand? Is that clear? Look at this. John 8. Your father devil read that earlier, okay? Verse 31. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he said, well, you are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage, that is in themselves. To any man thou seest, you shall be made free. Verily I say unto you, Whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. Are you following this? Is what? The servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son, hallelujah, abides forever. Deal with that. So if the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, free from what? Free from what? Sin. To make free will be what? To redeem. To redeem from sin. Right? To pay ransom. You get it? Because to free from sin will be lutros, lutrosis, apolutrosis, right? Which is to pay a price to set free a servant or a slave. Alright? So who is the boss? Sin. Are you following this? Okay. Now, what is his judgment? Death. So what will be the ransom for sin? It's a simple thing. Huh? The ransom will be what? And when that ransom is paid, it loses its hold. Right? Romans 6:23. Don't forget, redemption is apolutrosis or apolutros. Ransom, what is paid? Lutro, to set free, to take out of by paying a price, not by fighting. So Romans 6:23, the wages of sin, singular, the wages of sin is death. So let's just look at the B part, Romans 6:23. The gift of God is life. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. Look at the gifts, Romans 5. Romans 5, 15. Free gift. Romans 5:16, gift. Free gift. Romans 5:17, the gift of righteousness. Then Romans 5:21. Says the gift of God. Now look at Romans 5:21. Sin has reigned unto death. Even so death, my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So sin is singular. Quick look at the word. Okay, let's just talk about the law quickly. So do we know that means the law did not bring death? Right? The law did not bring death. The law only ministered it. There was death before the law. Okay? So, don't forget that. So, the wages. The word wages is reward. Reward for work. Opsonion in the Greek. Opsonion. Luke 3:14. 1 Corinthians 9:7. And 2 Corinthians 11:8. Luke 3:14. 1 Corinthians 9:7. And 2 Corinthians 11:8. So, what is death? The wages of sin is used for a reward of work done. Death is what again? The wages of sin. So if you want to pay sin, how are you going to pay sin? Huh? If you want to pay sin for its great work, what is its payment? The payment will be what? So what is the great work that sin has made? It has ruined, right? It has held captives. So its wages will be what? Right? So that wages will be redemption. The gift of God will be what? Resurrection. Have we cleared it? Who paid the wages? Jesus. And the gift. Because death cannot be his gift. Right? Because death came by sin. Death is a wage. Life is a gift. Alright? So, Jesus' death will be what? Paying the wages. Four. Like saying, thank you, sin. Take this. Thank you. Alright? So, that is the fruit of sin. It's not from God. Man is the slave. So, have we sorted out redemption? Who were we redeemed from? Right? Good. And by identification, the devil. Because he's the one that held the power of death. Are you following? So listen carefully. That means God did not receive the death of Jesus. He doesn't use it. What's he using it for? The recipient of the death of Jesus is what? Satan or sin? And by identification, Satan, because he received it. And that's where we're going to look at the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God is that what God knows that you don't know. What God knows that the devil didn't know. For as the prince of this world known it, why can they? It was hidden in God. How can they know it? Hallelujah. They will not have crucified. They say, no, let's walk in love. Let's walk in love. He's a good man. He's a good man. Hallelujah. They will not have crucified a lot of glory. And that's why it befuddles the intellectuals and the religious mind. Said, that is the wisdom of God. How can you say somebody was held captive by the devil with the kingdom of God? The wisdom of God. That's the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let's go further. So, we've said our redemption. So, the next crucial one will be forgiveness of sins. If redemption, because it's clear that the death of Jesus was not to redeem us from God. Hallelujah. The death of Jesus was not to redeem us from God. Because we are not his slaves. What about the concept of forgiveness of sins? Open your ears well. You should. Hallelujah. Now, let me ask you a question. Did God forgive sins before Jesus died? That's a simple ABC of the Bible. Did he? Are you sure? Are you sure? You just want to guess. Look at Abraham. Abraham believed God. Right? Go to Romans 4. Again, who did Adam disobey? God, not the devil. He didn't sin against the devil. You get it? Romans 4. What shall we say then, verse 1, that Abraham, our father, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he had way of to glory, but not before God. But what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. Logizomai. You several times Romans 4. It was recorded for him. Okay? It was recorded for him as righteousness. Now, but to him that walks not and believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Listen very well. It's too early to sleep. As David also describes the blessedness of the man. So David was not particular. Of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. Now, righteousness without works is what? Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Pay attention. To whom he will not impute sin. He will not record sin. Now, David said this, Psalm 82 verse 1 to 2, and describes the man, not a man. He didn't say Abraham. He's just describing the man. Say the man that is blessed is the man that he will not impute sin. Are you there? He won't record it. He gives righteousness. That is, the man, that is, the man is said to be not guilty in spite of his works. And he calls it the blessedness of God. Remember we studied this, I don't know whether it was this series, that what is called the Sabbath is God having finished his work. He now rested. Okay? And it says he blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. That we, in carnality, that has been taken as Sunday. And that was what Moses did for them. Because when Moses preached the rest of God and they did not believe, he gave them a day. And Jesus told us in Mark 2:27, he says the Sabbath was made by man. It was man that made the Sabbath. That is a day. Rest is in a person. So Hebrews 4 tells us that those that have believed enter into the rest, which was prepared from the foundation of the world. That is, there was rest before Adam sinned. To not count sin, are you following this? Was available in Genesis 3. Are you listening? Because God sanctified faith. From time faith was the most superior attitude of man. Faith in. Faith was what God sanctified and made holy. To believe. That's why, till date, we don't know exactly, we can't say, what did Adam do wrong? No, you don't know. Until you come to Romans 5, you see that it was disobedience. not to believe. So what happened was, Adam, and I asked a question. Was the issue you did wrong? Eating fruit, literally, cannot be a sin. It's not a sin to be a sin. It's not a sin under the law to eat fruit. So, let's view it. Till tomorrow, people can say, what did Adam do? They say, well, don't say, it's sex. Those ones, many screws are missing in their brain. We don't know. Hallelujah. The answer is in Genesis 2:3. The rest of God. Where you will enter into what he has done. What he has done. Which is called life anyway. Into what he has done. So was it that man made in the way that he must never do wrong? I won't answer that yet. God cannot build iniquity. Hallelujah. You know, today we can't say, what did Adam do? Did he beat somebody? Did he have another wife? Did he steal someone's? Did he steal anybody's thing? Whatever he took would have belonged to him. Did he annoy Eve? What could have been the issue? Sin will be what? The noun of sin will be what? Not to believe. That's the noun. It's no other thing. Because what God called holy, separate, was his finished work. What he has done. Hallelujah. God can say, what did he do? What did he do? He beat somebody? No. He stole money? No. Fornication? With who? What did he do? Hallelujah. I hope you are thinking. What did he do? Well, how did you get here again? So, not to record man's works preceded Adam's sin. In fact, it was not accepting that is called the disobedience. That's why Hebrews 11 was about faith. Hallelujah. Are you there? So, Abraham believed God. Praise God. He believed God. It was accounted for righteousness. So, Jeremiah 31:30-35, where it's a new covenant will be the house of Israel in those days. Their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Really, that preceded the law now. He was talking about a replacement of the law. It is not saying that God is now going to do something new. That's God from Genesis 3. It's not a new God. What Jeremiah prophesied, Abraham walked in. Is that not true? What Jeremiah prophesied, what we call the new covenant, they say, I remember no more. That is righteousness imputed to Abraham. That's the blessedness of the man in whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Are you following this? Are you following? Abel enjoyed that. Who else did? Noah, Abraham, Moses, the great Moses. Hallelujah. Somebody sent me a text. In the Law and the Prophets, and somebody sent me, it was a Facebook post. How come Moses did so much? Because I said yesterday that when Moses had closed the sea, that it was obvious that there was deliverance for those guys when their chariots had problems in the midst of the dry land. While they were going back, Moses then closed his thing on them. An eye for an eye, life for life. Why? Because he was revenging what had happened in Exodus 1. Because they also killed the children of the Israelites. So that's the law of sin and death. Do it, I do it back. So they were both working with the same template. Hallelujah. Because you know the destroyer was with Moses throughout. No. So God provided God says, open the sea. Right? He closed it. He closed it. Nobody has to die for God to deliver someone. It's even a weakling that has to kill to deliver. Look at, you know, there are people who were delivered without anybody dying. Nobody died. Praise God. It's simple to see the character of God. So when we could see the hand of God there, that their chariot stopped, and they were supposed to go back, I said, wait, let's forget this guy, let's go back. We said, go back where? He just closed his head. And that was it. Amen. So the guy was like, how come Moses? I said, take it easy now, we'll get to that point. He didn't have such authority, we'll find out. So, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more? Did that precede the Old Testament? Huh? Did it? Because even that text of scripture was for Israel. Why? Because they were given a covenant by Moses. So God gave them a promise to that nation. But you know, prior to Israel being birthed as a nation, righteousness through faith was already available outside of Israel. Because Abraham was not in Israel. I hope you know. Isaac was not. Abraham was not a Jew. Who was their father? So, let's take it again. Not to record sins precedes the death of Jesus. Not to record sins precedes the Old Testament. Is this clear? Not to record sins precedes Adam's sin. That's the one that you know, you can't expect God to be reacting. Did God know man will sin? Yes, no. If he did not know, let's find somebody else to serve. God, we are on the same level. Oh, you found out. I found out. Okay. Who will not find out? Let's do for that person. He knew. So he was not proactive. He was not reacting. He was proactive. When he provided rest from the foundation of the world. There was rest. Rest means to cease from what? Huh? Which mostly interpreted to mean that when you are owing money, you are not paying back. He reduced it to material things. Because those guys were, they were hard-hearted. Are you there? Okay, look at this. So, you know, we're looking at forgiveness. So, does God require a sacrifice not to recall sin? I'm asking now. He doesn't use the sacrifice at all. I'm slowing down so that you don't rush. Does God require sacrifice not to recall sin? No. He doesn't. Hallelujah. When sins are recorded, it's because you don't believe. Right? It's your will. When they are not, it's because you have believed. Are we on the same page? Now, look at this. Luke 4:18. Forgiveness of sins. All right. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive. Notice the word deliverance. To preach. To preach is to announce something. Okay? The word deliverance here is the same word used for forgiveness. Aphesis. To preach it. So when I preach it, what is the response to preaching? To receive, to believe. So Jesus was preaching deliverance to the captives. Let's go through the use of that word. 17 times it is used. Aphesis. So, was this available before he died? Huh? Thank you. So, look at it. The four Gospels. Matthew 26. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins for many. Ephesians. Mark 1:4. John the Baptist. John the Baptist in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Mark 3:29. He that blasphemes against the Holy Ghost hath never remission of sins. That's forgiveness. But is in danger of eternal damnation. Eternal damnation. So that shows you that you can blaspheme and still believe. But you're just in the danger of it. Okay? Nah, he has blasphemed already. That's the end. No. Luke 1:77. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Ephesians. Then Luke 3:3, John, the one we read earlier, for the remission of sins. Luke 4:18. Then Luke 24:47.
and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Luke 24:47, beginning at Jerusalem. Okay? So, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for the remission of sins. Acts 5:31. Him had God exalted with high to be the Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins. Same word, forgiveness. Acts 10:43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him should receive remission of sins. Acts 10:38. So Acts 13:38. Paul. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the remission of sins. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power, notice this is very vital, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto who? Okay? That they may receive what? An inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So, the deliverance from the power of darkness is what? Remission of sins. Follow this. So, in the book of Acts, you can see what remission of sins means. It means it's preached. It's preached to be received. It's preached, then it is received. So Ephesians 1:7. It's so funny that this is this. In there, Paul uses that word remission of sins just 2 times. You know, that calls for careful thinking. He used it twice. Just 2 times. I don't know whether you are on the same page with me. Why would Paul use it just twice? In fact, I speak to you, if I get a bit more technical, I say once. Because he wrote to 2 different churches and he was saying the same thing. He mentions remission of sins just once in Ephesians. So that was not the focus of his letter. Amen. Are you following? Because we would have thought that that's a major thing. We should have run through all the letters just once. Amen. So it's used a lot in the book of Acts, used in 4 Gospels, but carefully used in the epistles. Praise God. Look at it. Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:14. The only 2 places he uses the word Ephesus. And we have to look at it contextually. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, ransom paid, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1:14. You know, there are some things in Colossians and Ephesians, like he took them word for word. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood the forgiveness of sins. Ephesus. So how many times does Paul use Ephesus?
Two times.
Technically once. Okay, two. Hallelujah. So the spirit of truth is not focusing on that. Praise God. Are you there? I hope I can go further, but let's. Hebrews 9:22. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Where is this one from? Where is this from? The law. Abby?
Not.
Look at Hebrews 10:18. For where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. For where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. There is no more sacrifice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no more sacrifice. Where this is remitted. So, what does Ephesus mean? The reason why they use Luke 4:18 use deliverance because Ephesus actually means to send away. To send away. So let's say in whom we have redemption, the sending away of sins. The sending away of what? Sins. According to the riches of his grace. The sending away of sins. So, if we say the sending away of sins, does it mean the sending away of you not sinning again? No. It will be what? Huh? The consequences of it. Are you following? So that's what he's talking about. Now, let's look at Jesus' character, basically in his earthly walk. In Luke 7, go to Luke 7. He says in verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, our sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, to whom little is forgiven, same loves little. Our sins, thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven. That's Jesus is talking to someone. He says, your sins are forgiven. Here the verb is used, I fear me. A-P-H-I-E-M-I, the verb, 146 times, is the sending away. Now, was Jesus speaking in reality a holy spirit? He says in verse 50, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Hallelujah. What comes in again there? Faith. Go in peace. Go in a perfect state of health. Spiritually. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Back up again, no? What gave Abraham righteousness was what?
Huh? So what happens? His sins are what? Not recorded. So what is Jesus saying to this woman? Huh? You are whispering. Okay, John 8. John 8 was carefully crafted by the translators, and they are smart. But those who study languages know that John 8 is not, does not flow from John 7 to 9. John 8. The lettering was different, the words are different. But they just had to put it because it happened. Hallelujah. You have to be there because it's a vital place, you know, at least to make many people be at rest. John 8. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Try it. So where are your accusers? Say, no man condemns you. Okay, good. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn you means I will not what? Count it. Let me ask you. What did the woman do? Did she believe? Huh? Did she believe? I'm asking a question. Was she? She was even dragged there. She was dragged there. Now she didn't say Lord. She didn't even say dear Lord. No, the other one. You know, he said your faith has saved thee. He used forgiveness. He didn't use forgiveness here. He just said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. They are not the same thing, though. Why are you looking at me like that? Is it the same thing? Huh? Was faith involved here? Huh? Faith was not involved. Was faith involved in Luke 7? Right? Luke 5. Yeah, there's one in Luke 5. Forgot that one. Man, verse 20, when he saw their faith, said, man, thy sins are forgiven you. And he said, who is he that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So why do you reason like this in your heart? Verse 22, what is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, rise up and walk? That you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins. I say unto thee, rise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. He has power to forgive sins upon the earth. So, was faith involved here? Huh? Okay, what is easier to say, rise up and walk, or your sins are forgiven? Which one is easier? Eh? Both. See, I ask this question a lot of times. Do you answer it? I've been asking this question for years. What is easier? Rise up and walk is easier. Eh. All right. So, to forgive means to send. Look at Luke 19:9. Zacchaeus, today salvation has come into your house. So he located that in a person. Quickly, let's now. So the word here is, I fear me, to send away. To send away. Okay. Mm.
So was there forgiveness of sins? Huh? Was there forgiveness of sins? Huh? Huh? Okay. Look at this. That word to forgive, which we just said is a verb. Okay? In the four Gospels, it's used 26 times. No, sorry. In the entire New Testament Greek, that's a mistake. 26 times. Pay attention, this is vital. To forgive. It's used in four Gospels 26 times. Sorry, in the New Testament Greek 26 times, and 22 times in the four Gospels. If you are a Bible student, that calls your attention to something. 22 times alone in the four Gospels. Just like Ephesus. 22 times alone in the four Gospels. Look at the four times used in the epistles. Four times in the epistles. Forgive. 2 Corinthians 2:7. To that brother. Know that brother now. He's doing love for you. 2 Corinthians 2:10. That brother again. It was mentioned in conduct. The 2 Corinthians 12, I think, verse 13. Right. Forgive me this wrong in conduct. Hallelujah. So that verb to forgive, look at another place, to be forgiven. Also 24 times, to be forgiven, 24 times, to be forgiven. No, there's a difference, there's a different word in, sorry, I think I missed this. 2 Corinthians 2:10 is charizomai, to grant it freely. That's what it means, to grant it freely. That just an adjective, to grant something freely. 2:10. Okay, forgiven. Acts 8:22 by the great apostle. That the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Acts 8:22. Peter to Simon Magus, Simon the sorcerer. Romans 4:7, whose sins are forgiven. Quoting from Psalm 32:1. Then Ephesians 4:32 by Paul. Ephesians 4:32, Colossians 2:13, saying the same thing. And this one is charizomai. Charizomai. Ephesians 4:32 and Colossians 2:13. Let's read that one. I think it's Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Deeds, he has forgiven you. Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All. That's forgiven. that charizomai used, not iphemi. He used iphemi in talking about Abraham, that's Paul. He used charizomai, Ephesians 4.32, Colossians 2.13. Then James 5.15, obviously, James used iphemi. James 5.15. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. 1 John 2.12, your sins are forgiven. 1 John 2.12, John. Luke 7.49, what we just read. Jesus and that woman. Colossians 3.13. Forbear one another and forgiving one another, if any man has a quarrel against you, as Christ forgave you. Right? So also do you. This is the same word as Ephesians 4.32. Like I said, he repeats those things. So, remission, aphesis, Jesus used it. I'll take it one more time. Matthew 26:28, Mark 1:4, Luke 24:47, Luke 1:77. I studied that. Luke 1:77 is something that needs to be looked at again. Okay, to give knowledge of the people, I've shared that before. Luke 1:77, Luke 3:3, Acts 2:38, Ephesus, Acts 10:43, Romans 3:25 was a very different word. It means to tolerate. Look at Romans 3.25. Remission there is to tolerate something, not to send it away. Curiously, Romans 3.25. To declare is right for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. That's why I use forbearance. That God tolerated it. Romans 3.25. That's why the sins that are past. That means all through the Old Testament era, God tolerated it. And it carries the same weight as forgiveness. Hebrews 9.22 and Hebrews 10.18. So let me ask you, did Paul use these words much? Huh? Did he? No. And Abraham had his sins not recorded. Which meant what? Logizomai. Which meant that, and in translating that, Romans 4 calls it aphesis. They were taken away. The judgment of his sins was taken away. The judgment of his sins was taken away. Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8. Verse 12. For I will be merciful to the unrighteous and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Which means that there won't be recollection of it, there won't be a remembrance of that. It won't be recorded anywhere. Now, I said earlier, was this available before the law? Huh? Okay. Romans 5, Paul gave the argument. Sin was in the world, but it was not what? Right? Romans 5, 13. Sin was in the world, but it was not what? Now, notice this. Go to Romans 5. Sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law.
nevertheless. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Sin is not imputed will mean what? Will mean what? Huh? Was not recorded. So sin was not recorded before the law. Are you for? Sin was not recorded before the law. Was it for everybody or for those who believe? Don't answer. Are you confused? So sin was not recorded before the law. Nevertheless, sin not being recorded, there's still what? Are you following? Sin is not recorded, but death still reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure, or which is a figure of that which was to come. So sin was not recorded. Romans 3:19 says, I'm just giving you things to think about. 3:19 says, now we know the things the law saith. It says them that are under the law, that every man may be stopped, that all the world may become guilty before God. Who is doing this? Huh? Did God want the world to become guilty before him? Huh? No, no. Because the law was given by Moses, but sin was not recorded until Moses. Sin was not imputed, but death reigned. Not that men were not sinning, no, but it was not what? Imputed. Sin was not recorded. So he says here, the Lord says that all the world before God, God is not the one that wants the world to be guilty before him. This is the law, that all the world will become guilty before God. Now, run to Romans 3, let's see this. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The knowledge of sin. Epignosis. I think it's epignosis, yeah. Now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Witnessed. To speak of it by the law and the prophets. Amen. So, let's go back to where we started from. Did God require a sacrifice for forgiveness of sins? Huh? What was, let's use the word required. What? Huh? What was? To believe. Right? Faith. To believe. Hallelujah. Just like, that's what we have read through so far. To believe. Amen. Okay. Look at Romans 5:17-18. No, Romans 5:17. I'll give you this, you go and read. So Romans, okay, we could just read briefly. It was by one that sin, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift of many offenses unto justification. I think, let me just say this. I think where you are still not washing in your mind that God is not the one that requires something to forgive, that requires an offering. Let that sink. When that one sinks, then forgiveness of sins will be clear to you what it means.
God does not require sacrifice. Is it clear? Jesus did not pay a price to God. Is it clear? Good. So, if he does not require a sacrifice, right, for sins, then sin is against who? Is it against the devil? No, no. Sin is against God. You are going to walk. Sin is against who? Huh? Sin is against what? Who? Against the devil. God gives his word. A man does otherwise. That is what? Huh? Okay. So God's doing is God's doing is huh? Is his word. So God says, go here, you go there. This is sin. The consequence of this is what? So this is the absence of God. He's thinking now. Huh? So who did you sin against? Huh? Who did you look at my discussion? Who did you what is this? This is sin. Right? So this state will be the state of this is the action, this is the state. Let me face this. God says, sit down here. I'm using parable. Is this community church? He says, sit down here. This is his word. This is life. Right? This is God. When you don't sit down here, that don't sit down is what? The root of that is what? Unbelief. Right? You are not persuaded by God. Are you there? So you go, this is sin. So your sitting elsewhere is the state of what? The state of Should I start all over again? Even those of you who are great Bible scholars, you say sin is missing the mark. And this is the mark. So you go away from the mark. Abi, the mark is this chair. You go away from the mark. This going away is what? The act of it. Right? Which is what? Huh? Well, how do we know that? Through one man. Ah! Don't go too far. Through one. Right? Through one. So through Adam we know what sin is. Do you notice that what reigned over man was not sin, but death? Because sin was not recorded against men. Yet death reigned over Abraham, even though sin was not recorded against him. Is it clear? Are you there? So, watch this. To move is sin. The state is what? That state of sin is what? Death. Right? So, death is the state. Right? Right? Now, where do we find death? The absence of life. You can't have death if there was no life. So death is because there was the absence of what? Life. That is paraboli. Okay? You know, I told you, it's children's teaching. Hallelujah. You know, the thing is that many of you are still yet to come to terms with the character of God. He's not an angry person. We don't get angry. Why did you do that? Why? He knew you were going to. So what's the anger for? Hallelujah. What are you like? Hallelujah. I wish I could explain something. James is a wonderful teacher. He says the wrath of man. No, there's the wrath of man. We tend to think that the wrath of man and the wrath of God is the same thing. The wrath of God is the love of God. This is wrath. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the wrath of man. That is the wrath of man. It does not work the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. It doesn't work. Praise God. Are you following? No one will see it. So, where would we be delivered from what? From the consequence. Right? The consequence of sin. The consequence of sin. That's why you find the noun. And then you find the plural form. You find singular and the plural form. Consistently. Did you also discover that when the word Ephesus was used by Paul, it was used for sins in the plural. Sins in the plural. Hallelujah. Which is important. So, in Romans 5, do you know that all Paul's arguments, Romans 1, Romans 3, Romans 4, Romans 5, Romans 6, Romans 7, when you now go to 8, I want you to go and read them through. When you go to 8, now says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the spirit of life. I have a big problem with that statement. Law of the spirit. But let's leave it. The law of the spirit of life in Christ has made us free. Free. Do you know that if you don't read that if you don't read that chapter to a conclusion, you will not get what he was talking about. A key word there is the spirit of life. He now says in verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. Hereby we cry, Abba Father. Amen. Hallelujah. So there is the spirit of adoption, which he taught as the exact opposite of the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. So at the end of the day, you find out that what was given, don't forget, what was given by God is life. What was given by God is His spirit. What is new in the new covenant? What is new in the epistles is not forgiveness of sins.
Abina, what is new is the spirit of adoption. That's what is new. Because what was Abraham waiting for? It wasn't forgiveness of sins. Abel, what God will do in Christ is to raise him from the dead. It's in that resurrection that we find the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Are you following? Is it getting a bit clearer? It's just for you to be thinking. That's all. Just be thinking. That's why you will not. Paul used the word spirit, Christ, more than sins and forgiveness. Hallelujah. Why his focus could not have been forgiveness of sins. Amen. That's not his focus. So you can see that eternal salvation has been for many years, thousands of years. It's not. Abraham knew that. Moses knew now. He knew. Hallelujah. Moses, the funny guy, he chose not to die in Canaan. He chose not to die in Canaan. But he died. He held those people. He held them bound. He held them like this. He gave them laws. 630. How did he come up with those things? Up to everything they wore. He didn't dress like them. That's why it's called Moses the Lord Giver. Egba. Why did he do that? Because he preached unto them and they did not believe. So because of the others, they said, come here. No, if anybody had actually, you know, just walked in the word, it would have been free for me. Look at his sister. They said, why did you told us not to marry outside, and you went to marry an Ethiopian. And he sentenced them. One of those caught leprosy. You know, he said to them, he said, God speaks to me. He's not talking face to face. You, is it not by prophecy and by... And they knew it was true. So I've interceded for you, but then you still have to be punished. It's Moses that is saying all those things. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you following me? It's Moses. Jesus said that Moses said, now I see. Amen. This is what God said through Moses. They were too smart in the epistles not to say that, and the Lord said. Nobody repeated it. Moses said. And when the other week was going to bring him out in the full hub, said, look and see. That Moses now had shadows, skia. So it was obvious that he was not as smart as he was presented. That's why to show us in a vision, Peter and co. were made to see something. That Moses and Elijah came and said, listen to this one. Do you know that what Jesus showed them had happened? It happened in their times. That all through the period of the law and the prophets, God has said, that is my beloved son, well pleased, hear him. They all knew, and they all heard him. They did though. While the people were hearing them, they were hearing the son. Can you see? So don't think that, oh, you think Matthew 17, it happened that day. No, it's a vision now. Abba. Hallelujah. Amen. Where would they have come from? They were dead now. Hallelujah. Are you following? So,
you could see the enormous influence of sin and death. Enormous influence of sin and death. So much. Imagine Moses saying to them that, what you have spoken to in my ears, Numbers 14:28, I will do to you. That's not God. You say you want to die, you will die. You will die. Hallelujah. You will die. So that's why some people don't spare Moses, and I think it's not fair. They just let him be. The guys were just disobedient, and they deserved it. So the spirit of bondage began to fear. So we said forgiveness of sins was available to Adam. So the spirit of adoption cries what? Abba, Father. Amen. Relationship. Just what Jesus said. He that the Son shall set free. Amen. Sonship sets us free. Hallelujah. Because we receive the spirit of the Son. So it's not that he set you free, he's bringing you out. No. The spirit of the Son in our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. There was something that Jeremiah prophesied as an extra. I will write my laws in their heart. Hallelujah. So that's the giving of the Spirit. Just like yesterday. You know, you can take your eyes off the reality and put your... I'm putting your mind on an analogy. Just like what we talked about, the issue of blood. Let me show you something. Look at Ezekiel 36. You are not washed by blood, though. Okay? But when we, so when we sing it, we have an understanding. Right? We have, you know, we can say blood, and we have an understanding of what is being said. Because the blood of Jesus represents is sacrifice. One is sacrifice. That is the judgment of sin on him, which is the blood. And then, depending on the context, it represents the spirit of the Son. Look at Ezekiel 36. Verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. I will make you clean. You shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the soul of the flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them. So you can see that you can be looking at water, and then he's talking about his spirit. You can be looking at blood, I'm talking about his spirit, because the life of the blood, the life of a man is in the blood. That's what Moses said. The life of Jesus is the spirit of the Son. Are you there? So we are actually cleansed literally. Amen. You get that? We are cleansed literally. That cleansing is the newness that we have. A new spirit will I put within you. Hallelujah. So when he said, I will write my laws in their hearts. Of course, that's the language you can use for folks under the law. I will cause you to walk, Jeremiah. That I will write my laws, put them in your inward parts, is the indwelling of the Spirit. Are you following? Paul was clearer when he said, when he explained in 2 Corinthians 3. He says, that not written on the tables of stone, but on the fleshly tables of the heart. Then he said that not of the letter, but of what? The spirit. So Paul was the clearest. And Paul obviously was speaking from Jeremiah 31 of the spirit. So when I say I will write my laws, he's talking about the spirit at work in us. Is that okay? Is that okay? I just have to, that was not part of my chair. I just have to add that. So, let's go over this one more time. So, the law did not bring sin.
Sorry. The law did not bring death. The law only ministered it. Right? The law ministered it. That all may become guilty. God didn't make them guilty. Again, who gave the law? Don't always forget. Who gave the law? Moses gave the law. Why did he give the law? Huh? Because of the hardness of... What is hardness of the heart? Hardness towards the gospel. That's why Hebrews 4:2 says that the gospel was first preached to them. So, the law was for the hardness of the heart. So we can say this. That the law was sin's tool for death to reign much more. Why would the law be strengthened by sin? What sin? Lying? Stealing? No. Unbelief. So the law is the child of sin, law of sin and death. The sin will be what? Unbelief. So faith is not an afterthought. Faith is the thought to believe. Man was to rely on God's works. Or God's work, sorry. What God has done. That's why figuratively, Moses showed us that God had finished the whole earth, then he put man. But we all know he didn't. There are still things we are discovering in the earth. You know what I'm talking about? Are you following what I'm saying? The earth is okay, created. I'm saying things were still being done in the earth. You get it? The sun will still rise and all that. So when I say he's finished it, figuratively you look at the earth, but really, Hebrews 4 talks about the finished work of Christ. Amen. Before the foundation of the world. So faith becomes the issue. So faith is not just a message preached by some folks from America. Faith is the issue. Hallelujah. Faith is the issue. Why would you think Paul will tell Timothy, all scripture is about salvation through what? Faith in Christ. Salvation through faith in Christ. So, those folks that were given the law, did they hear the gospel? Huh? They did. For the gospel was preached unto them, but not being mixed with what? What is faith? To enter into his rest. He had finished the works before the foundation of the world, or from the foundation of the world. So, what happened was, faith was replaced with who? With what? The law. Who did it? Moses. The great Moses. You want this? He said, no. Take this. Hallelujah. Do you know, he did that after he had been justified. He gave them chance. He wasn't a wicked man. You can't blame him. You can't. Because look at, for how many years was the gospel preached unto them? It was at the same time the law was given to them. It was a choice. It was the same time. That's why when he finished with them in Deuteronomy 32, he said, for a generation that has no feet. So, there were folks that did not believe. Simple. So, let's go back again. God granting forgiveness of sins. Is it a condition or his character? That's where we are going, Is it a condition for sacrifice? When the sacrifice has been accepted by the gods? Or it is his character? That's why when Jesus came on earth, he said, I have the power to do this. Amen. So it's in the character of God to forgive. That's why, you know, when I explained the grace message in 2014, I think, I let us see that the grace of God is His character. It's not when Christ died. No. The love of God is why Christ died. You understand? It's not, Christ did not die for God to love. Christ died because God loved. Is that clear? So it's in the character of God to love. It's in His character to forgive. I wish I was going to explain this before. That was Saturday. So imagine you are thinking that God will not one throw. Everybody's lining up. Yes, what have you done? That's such a view. Hallelujah. That's such a view. So the love of God is His character. He was not made to love by Jesus. See, I've died now. Take it easy. Take it easy. You know, it's that same people have today about when they talk about somebody went to heaven and saw God and saw Jesus and all that. Foolishly, they should have known that if you go anywhere in heaven, it's only Jesus that you're going to see. Foolishly, you should have known that. You wonder you have seen three thrones like your hometown. Amen. If you have just been well taught, those are the visions you have again. Like someone, if you fast too much, you'll be seeing things. When you go on a long fast, you're not studying the word. You will see visions though. That's why you see comb. You will see tortoise. I can see some people's destiny is being eaten by a monkey. You see? You will begin to see all sorts of things. But when you fast and study God's word, you will stop on time. Hallelujah. Because you are fasting and you are dying naturally, you have enough sense to go and eat. Because the fasting is for you. An overdose can kill. Hallelujah. Are you following my point? You know that those who are into spiritism also fast. They do. Those who are into spiritism, they fast for power. Amen. Some people don't need to fast. They should stop and start attending Bible study. Yes. Praise God. Where are we? So, God is not a slave owner. Right? 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 God did not require the death of Jesus to love. Right? It was the death of Jesus that demonstrated God's love. Right? Can we even say this? God did not need the death of Jesus to forgive sins. So that means you struggle to say, you get the way. I think I can say it now. He doesn't need the death to forgive sins. Hallelujah. Forgiveness of sins was available. Hallelujah. Okay. So, look at the judgment of God one more time. Let me start with that. Say, the day you eat it, you will die. This day I will kill you. The day you eat it, I will kill you. Is that what he said? You will die. He said that in love. He said that in love. You know, you can imagine Adam said, you hearing from God and not doing it. You are not trying to judge. Who are you judging by? Say, let me find out whether it's true. You know, that is really unbelief. That's unbelief. That's unbelief. He had life. He had sin. He had the word. Follow me. He had sin. And he chose sin. He chose to do contrary to what God said.
Hallelujah.
And God still dealt with him. So you can see that the consequences of that, as it were, I want to be very careful what I'm going to say, because some guys hunt for words like this when I'm preaching. God seemed helpless when it comes to the will of man. He didn't create a robot. I told you on Saturday, he made man to be able to sin. Not he made man to sin. Man was given the capacity to sin. Because if man was not given the capacity to sin, that means God is controlling him. It is that free will of man that the devil held on to. Are you following this? If people today go to hell, it's because God loves them. You can't insist. God loves you. That's why you are going to hell. He can't insist. It's not in his character to coerce. Hallelujah. You know, in his love, he told Adam the consequence. In his love, he watched it happen. He didn't come back home to find out what happened. What's going on? So, in the will of man, God is a bystander. He can only be invited. He watches. Who gave man that will? He did. And it's to his glory. What's his glory? His love. God is not found in manipulation at all. To make, to do. Can you know that? After all he has done for us in Christ, he still says walk. You are still going to walk. Now you are born again, everything is done. You are still going to have to walk. He will say, and I will. I sent somebody a few days ago. Said, hallelujah. Said the Bible says, said that word, walk out of salvation. That people just misunderstand it. It is God that works in us. I said, but you walk it. Because if you don't walk it, that means it's controlling you. That's why even upon redemption, upon salvation, upon reconciliation from sin, believers will still behave like devils. That's the love of God. And when they suffer the consequences, it is also what? The love of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you are wondering that. It's the love of God. He will not tamper with the will of man. So when all these folks are preaching God is sovereign, that is tampering things, they need to be flogged. Where they always, if you see all these folks that talk about God sovereign, if you want to give them pin 4 in James. Now, those of you that abuse James, I look at you. Thank God for James. Oh. Let no man say. I almost wanted to write it. Let not Calvin say. I love him. I believe he's a Christian. Let no man say when he is tempted. I'm telling myself, God cannot be tempted with evil. He didn't stop there. Neither tempt ye any man. That is this way and that way. And if anything is the major activity of man in the earth, it is sin. You don't believe. Do you know the institutions of government in the earth was because of sin? So when Paul talks about it was ordained of God, talking about the will of man. God gave man the will to organize himself. And governments did not come to play until the days of Peleg. I've explained that to you in law in Genesis before. So really, the will of man is involved. Look at how powerful it is. Satan also had to use it. What would I want you to say before? The will of man. I tell you, when we say Satan, don't look anywhere. Satan is amongst us. Not in the church here. Well, sometimes in the church. Yes, so when you go after Satan. Oh, yes. So let's quickly. Well, are we on the same page? So, does God need blood? No. He doesn't use it. Does God need the Jesus to forgive? Did the death of Jesus empower God to forgive? When you are coming tomorrow, you bring blood. Because for us to get this thing that is here, you have to put something down. And that will be your blood. It's not a God in your hometown. Hallelujah. Are you following? So, Ephesus is what? I've already led you to be thinking about it. Ephesus is what? Huh? And the frequency was more where? Think. Romans 8. Let's close the session on that one. Then we'll go to another thing later. So God is not bipolar. Doesn't have a schizophrenic image. In his judgment, he's tough. So there are two sides to God. Don't let us cross between the love of God. There are two sides. That's the God you are serving. There's the judgment part of God. That one he doesn't send. There's the love part. The lion and the lamb. The kind of God that has been preached is such a defamation of character. That is judgment. When the Bible says he has committed all judgment to the Son. So when you see the Son, you see his judgment. That's next week, Saturday. Anyway. You know, Jesus said, this is the judgment. That men love darkness. That's the judgment. Is that not the judgment? Or God sitting on the throne? I know you. It's funny. Your name is not in the book. Don't bother checking. God's judgment is that men. So the judgment is where? Is in man's will. I've said that since the first hour, the first minute I made. Praise God. Is it not clear? He has sent his Son to the world not to condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. Then he now says that he that does not believe is already what? So where is the judgment? Exactly. The judgment is in unbelief or faith. It's not God sitting down and now watching your life. No. The judgment is in faith or unbelief. Just like Adam. See, God has not changed you. Okay? We are applying judgment like Moses. Are you following? Look at Romans 8. Somehow this verse of scripture, for many years, and that's what I wanted to talk about, I never paid attention to it. Until I think it was last year. No, 2 years ago. 3 years ago. I was checking my notes on death, and I discovered that I made a very careless statement here. I don't know. You know, there are some things you check and say, I just didn't pay attention to this. Romans 8, 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Now, to subject in hope. Now, this looks somehow. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who was subjected in hope. This, without much ado, presents what we have said earlier, a bipolar image. To subject someone in hope, or
to subject him in vanity. Not willingly. That means against the person's will. Are you following this? So it caused me to think about it. I didn't teach. I've never explained the verse before. That's why I'm going over it. The word vanity is emptiness or purposelessness. I'll spell it for you. M-A-T-A-O-I-T-E-S. It's taken from a word metahos, M-A-T-A-I-O-S. It means illusion. What is not real? What is not true? In Greek culture, this word, and from the Septuagint, is used for idols. So, imagine to say, who subjected to idols, to emptiness, vanity, to purposelessness. Ephesians 4:17, in the vanity of their minds. 2 Peter 2:18, vain. Look at 1 Peter 1:18, purposelessness. First Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were redeemed with corruptible things. You are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Wow. From your vain conversation. By tradition from your fathers. Hallelujah. So it says, vain. Used for purposelessness. So when this is used, I think that's in your conversation, okay? Look at 1 Corinthians 15:17. If Christ be not there, then your faith is vain, purposeless, empty. Titus 3:9, James 1:26, purposeless, empty. It's used for godlessness. Okay? Godlessness. Look at Acts 14, verse 15. Why do you see these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities. Now what were they doing? Worshiping idols unto the living God which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Hallelujah. Are you following this? So, now Romans 8:20 says, he has subjected in what? To vanity. Purposelessness. So, to subject not willingly without your will. That word is ekon in the Greek, H-E-K-O-N, used for voluntary things. 1 Corinthians 9:17, Paul used it. So he says he subjected the same. Look at, he used the word subject twice. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Not willingly, but by the reason of him who subjected in hope. That is confusion. You can't subject to vanity and subject in hope. Vanity means empty. Hope means expectation. Are you following this? Do you understand? That's bipolar. Hope is help is NX expectation. Vanity means there's nothing. So, could it be the same person who subjects in hope that subjects to vanity? But the way it is written, he's talking about the same person. So, how do we resolve it? Not difficult. Remove the verses. remove 19, remove 21. So let us read. Let us do our verses ourselves. God won't beat you. Let us reverse that place. 19. So we have hope in 20. We have hope in 25, in 24. So, let's read without the verses. For the earnest expectation, the same thing, hope. The earnest hope of the creature waits for what? The manifestation of who? So, no, wait. Let's quickly look at this. We have three personalities that we can be talking about. The him will either be God, Adam, or Satan. So let's find out who it is. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who are subjected. Imagine if you now put comma. I will now put a parenthesis between for in 20 and subjected. What are we explaining? We're explaining the reason for the manifestation. So we now start verse 21 with, in hope, because the creature also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of children of God. So, the subjection is what? The bondage of what? Corruption. So, in grammar, we will separate verse 20 in a parenthesis. So, 19 will continue from where? 21. Does that make sense? 19 continues from where? Let me see if it's clear to you. Is it clear to you? 19 continues from where? 20 explains the reason for the hope. Do you understand? So, God is the one granting liberty. Whoever subjects is the one that holds the bondage. Do you understand? Okay. So, it can't be God. Because the creature is delivered. That word delivered is Eleutherio. I'll spell it for you. Eleutherio. Let's look at where it was used. Eleutherio. John 8:32. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. He the Son shall make free shall be what? Now, when Jesus was teaching that, what was the issue? Sin. Slave of sin. Where else was it used to make free? Romans 6:18. Romans 6:18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Galatians 5:1. Stand in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. So, who sets free? Christ does. Who holds in bondage? Sin. You know, sometimes in the Greek, what should be it is him. Are you following? So, what subjects what in hope? We'll find out now. He used the word slavery, bondage, duality, D-O-U-L-E-T-E. The same word in Romans 8:15. The spirit of bondage again to fear. Galatians 4:24. As though you are in bondage. Galatians 5:1. So, you see, everywhere we have read that free, we have seen what the bondage is. Galatians 5:1. Stand in liberty where we Christ has made us free, and not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Hebrews 2:15. Hallelujah. Who all their lifetime were subject to what? Bondage. Slavery. So, the glorious liberty of the sons of God, or the children of God, technon actually. What is that glorious liberty? Watch it. It says we have adoption, by the spirit of adoption, Romans 8:15 and 16. It now begins, it now says, when after salvation, what is the remaining trace of sin around us? The body. So he calls the body of the believer mortal, subject to death. So he says, there is a groaning for the redemption of the body. Are you following this? For the redemption of the body. It says, the manifestation of the sons of God. Was that manifestation not difficult? Verse 23. The force of the Spirit, we grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. So there's a hope, an expectation. That hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So, what's he talking about? He's talking about the redemption of where? Of the body. From what? From what? Huh? From corruption. So, the remaining vestige of sin will be the physical body. Vulnerable and subject to death. It's called mortal body. That's why Romans 8:11 can never be a healing scripture. Shall quicken your mortal bodies. That quickening will happen at the resurrection of the body. The first fruit of that resurrection, don't forget I taught you that, was Jesus and the saints. Because first fruit is not one. It's always together. The bodies of the saints, that they rose, that's the first fruit. Christ, after that order, the first fruit of them that slept. So, of them that slept, all the saints. Then after that order, what we call the rapture, we'll talk about that. So, he's teaching what we call the rapture here. And he says that the guarantee of that is the Spirit. Amen. The guarantee of that is the Spirit. So, we are not redeemed from God, though. Praise God. Is that very clear? What? You have a question? What is it? You what? Verse what? 19. Manifestation of the sons of God. It means full disclosure. We are sons of God in the spirit, but not in the body. Do you get it? Now we the sons of God, it does not yet appear what we shall be where. He says, as he is, so are we in this world. Okay? But physically, we are not like him. But when he shall come, we shall be as he is. Physical body. Manifestation of the sons of God. Not for you to manifest and become a governor. When people misinterpret scriptures, it has damaging effects. That manifestation is a hope. Something we do not see. Hallelujah. Is Romans 8:20 clear for you now? So, when you have problems like that we are studying, learn to reverse the place. I do that a lot. I just take there's a Bible I use that has no verses at all. It just gives me clarity of thought. Then, it makes you are not lazy. So when you are lazy, let me stop in verse 14. But when there's no verse, you have to read everything. And you will be forced to pay attention to details. You get it. Amen. So I think we have absorbed God. We have tried. Amen. He's free of condemnation. Hallelujah. Okay, we'll come back again in 20 minutes. Good morning.